So we all have, you know, different quirks about who we are. I grew up as a missionary kid in many different countries, and so and then my own personality quirks sometimes make things a little bit different. And often my family makes fun of me for these things. Some of that is I'm just kind of don't like spending money, and so I kind of do things that I kind of just don't care about. Some things that people are like, how do you not notice that? So remember when I was a kid, I once tried on a swimming suit and didn't recognize that the mesh in the swimming suit was not lined up correctly. And it was only after my brother borrowed my swimming suit that said, what's up with this? Like, oh, I don't know, I just kind of make it work. And people were like, what is wrong with you? And then one year, I remember I asked my mom, I said, hey, I need some more pants. And she thought I just needed like some random pants, but I actually didn't have any more pants. So she gave me thinking these are just junky pants, she gave me my pair of my dad's old tie-dye jeans that were like four sizes too big at least, that I kind of had to like do that. And that's what I wore all year. And then today I was in the car driving over here, and my dad, when we lived in Minnesota, gave me these nice leather driving gloves because, you know, the steering wheel gets cold and my hands actually get very cold. None of the rest of me does, but my hands get cold. So I was wearing these, but a couple years ago, I lost one of the gloves. So I just use one. I'm like, that's fine. I just drive really with one hand, so it's all good. And my family's like, where's your other glove? And I was like, I don't know. They're like, what? And they're just kind of laughing at me because they're like, what is wrong with you? You're so like different. What is? So they just kind of make fun of me. But today we're actually going to look at ways in which, as followers of Christ, we're actually called to be different. And today we're going to be looking at kind of specifically the idea of how does greatness differ in the kingdom of God? And so we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10. We're going to pick it up in verse 32. We've been looking at this in the second half of Mark. It's this whole idea of how, what does it actually look like to follow Jesus? What does it look like to be his disciples? And so in Mark chapter 10, verse 32, this is what it says. And they were on the road, this is Jesus and his disciples, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. Just as a pause here, whenever Jesus says Son of Man, he's talking about himself, and he is clearly, this is not the first time, he's actually in the last couple of chapters said this a lot, he is making it very, very clear to them what is going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. And then it continues, it says, and James and John, two of the disciples, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? I feel like, as a parent, when you read this, you're like, yeah, my kids have tried this on me, you know. Can you just say yes to whatever comes out of my mouth next? You know, that's kind of what's happening here. And Jesus is like, wait, what do you want me to do? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, the other disciples, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what we see here is happening is this. Jesus is, they're going up to Jerusalem, right? They're coming here, and Jesus, again, this is not the first time, it's not even the second time, not even necessarily the third time, that he's telling his disciples, guys, I am going to suffer horribly and be killed. And even here in this, he's talking about the flogging and the whipping and the being scorned. And all this. He's making it very clear. He's spelling it out for them what's going to happen. But his disciples to this point don't really get it. They're not really computing it. It's just like something like they say it and they're just like, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't fit in their picture of who Jesus is and that he's the Messiah and that he's supposed to bring the kingdom. And so for the fact that he's going to suffer and die just doesn't really compute. And we can see that because then after he's saying this, two of his disciples are like, hey, Jesus, we want to be glorified with you. We want to be like your right hand and your left hand, man. We want to be elevated with you above other people. And Jesus is sort of like, you still don't get it. Did you not just hear me say I'm going to die? Like, they're not really getting it, right? But they're asking, hey, could you do this? And really what it is they're asking to be elevated, to be great, to become separated even from within the 12, right? To say like, hey, put us ahead of the other guys. Right, which is why the 10 become indignant. That's what it says. They become indignant. Why? Because they hear these two guys asking this, and they're like, what about us? What are you doing? Like, what is up with you two? Like, what is the ego trip here that you guys are like, hey, if I get here first, maybe you could just put me ahead of those 10? You know, like, you know, like, it's this secret kind of conversation to put us up and lift us up. Why? Because they want the status. They want the greatness of coming and being glorified with Jesus. And that's what they're asking for. But the thing is, Jesus gets that they still don't really get what it means to actually follow in his footsteps, which is why it says here when he's saying, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with my baptism? He's saying, can you actually follow with me and go where I'm going? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Jesus even tells them, you don't get it. You don't know what you're asking because you're not understanding who I am and what I'm going to do. But you know what? You're still going to get it, and you will do it. But the 10 who are indignant, because Jesus actually doesn't rebuke them. See, he doesn't actually say, like, what's wrong with your ego trip here, guys? Get down. He actually just says, okay, guys, let me explain this. He says, let me explain this. You're upset now because two guys are trying to become greater, right? They want to be up, elevated, have higher status than the rest of you, and that's upsetting you, right? And he says, but let me talk to you about actually what it looks like if you're following me to actually be great. And so this is what he says. He says, hey, for the Gentiles, for the world, for everyone else to be in charge, to be the ruler, to be on top, to be great, to be glorified means that you get to lord it over people, that you get to overpower them, that you get to be better than them, that you get to do all these things, that there's that kind of sense of ease, you know, like in our era, it'd be like, you know, you want that private jet, you know, you want to be able to tell other people what to do, you want to be able to have whatever you want, whenever you want, and people are serving you and all that kind of stuff. It's an easier kind of situation, and he's saying that's what they're about, you know, especially thinking from their terms in the Roman context, you know, if a Roman ruler was to say something, it just happens, right, and it just goes, and so this is their understanding culturally of how it is, right, but Jesus says, but that is not to happen among you. See, I think the first thing that Jesus is really saying here is that greatness in the kingdom, if we want to experience that greatness in the kingdom of being great, then one of the first things that Jesus calls us to as we follow him is that we have to maintain humility. We have to maintain humility. See, the thing is, Jesus actually doesn't say you're not to have positions of authority. He doesn't say you shouldn't actually want to be on top. He doesn't say that you shouldn't be in, you know, have influence or authority or power. He says if you are in this position, excuse me, you do not lord it over somebody. You don't lord it over somebody. Instead, that's not to be among you. You maintain humility. The problem with this is that as you get power, as you get authority, as you are raised up, as you have success, it is so easy for that to change who we are. It is so easy for those things to change our perspective on those around us. It is so easy for that to morph us and change us as that happens. To begin to think of other people maybe as inferior or less gifted or less valuable than us as we achieve higher levels of success, authority, position, status, wealth, because we have those things. Now, often for people, that's not necessarily an intentional part of it. You're just going about your life. Maybe you're seeking something higher. And yet, as we do that, if we aren't careful, sort of this prideful arrogance that lords over that position comes. And it might not look like, you know, maybe a Roman government official back in the day who's saying, okay, now I'm going to like treat you horribly, put you in jail or something like that. But how many of us, maybe because we've had more wealth or more success or our grades were better or all of these kinds of things, have begun to think of us as maybe better than somebody else who doesn't have those things? That somehow we are inherently better than another. I hear this in some of our youth settings all the time. Grades are talked about a lot, right? And so the thing is like, oh yeah, I get this. But what's interesting is sometimes those conversations go from just like, oh, I got good grades, to talking about the people who didn't get as good grades. And then there's talking about like, oh, well, we're better, right? Now, before all you parents like, oh, we don't do that. We do the same things in our workplaces, right? The people who didn't quite get their work done fast enough, the people who didn't get the promotions, the people that didn't really get there or don't know as much as we do. It's easy because we have this heightened sense of who we are to maybe think that others are not as good as we are. And what Jesus is saying here is, as you get authority, as you get success, as you get in a higher level of elevated position, you have to maintain a humble posture, maintain humility that says, I will in no way lord what I have been given or granted or achieved over another person. I will not do it. It is not part of who we are. It is not how we do this. All right, and so if you're part of being great in the kingdom isn't saying, I can't have any high lofty position, or I can't have wealth, or I can't have power, I can't have influence. It's no, as those things happen in your life, you maintain humility. All right, so the second thing we see here is that Jesus says, hey, but it shall not be so among you. And then he says, but whoever would be first, or whoever be great, must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. I think what Jesus is calling us to is he's saying, hey, look, if you really want to be great, then you put others first. If you really want to be great in the kingdom of God, considered great, elevated, lifted up in the kingdom of God, it requires you, if you're following Jesus, to put other people first and to serve them. Now, I say put other people first and not just serve them, or not just like the first will be last and the last will be first, because this has happened in my house more times than I can remember. Sometimes my kids have known when they've all like, you know, especially come around dessert time, everybody wants to be first. So then sometimes I will do the like, oh, first will be last thing, you know, like as a good, you know, pastor dad. And be like, okay, oh, you asked for it first, you're now last. So then sometimes my kids, and I can tell they've done this, they've caught on to that, right? So then they'll be like, I'll go last, Daddy. And I'm like, Like, you just want to go first. Maybe. I'm like, so that's still going first, right? That's not actually what Jesus is talking about. It's not just about saying, oh, I'll just do the right thing that supposedly you told me to do so that I can get something better. That's not actually what Jesus is talking about here. See, a lot of us want to be great, right? We want to get the things we want. We want to be elevated, and that's not necessarily bad. But what Jesus is actually pointing out here is not something of like duty obligation or like working the system. It's actually putting other people's needs above your own, where he says here that you would become slaves of all, like a bondservant, somebody who doesn't necessarily have the rights to say what their will be. It's actually somebody who's lowering themselves below other people to lift them up. That is what Jesus is calling great in the kingdom. Right? And so it's not just this, oh, can I figure out how much I can serve or how much I can put your needs in front? It's not just like this kind of game. It's actually somebody who's saying, no, I place myself down. I lift you up. I want to put you first. That this is what greatness in the kingdom looks like. Now, again, this doesn't mean that you don't have authority. This doesn't mean that you don't have power or influence or wealth or success. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that in those places with what God has given you, that you put others first. That you actually use all the things that God has given you, including your authority, including your power, including your success, including your wealth, for the benefit of others. To serve others. To put their needs first. To say, what you have given me, how do I reach out to others? How do I see other people? How do I put them ahead of me and serve them? To put others first. Now, again, all of this is under the context of following Jesus. And I say that because here's the thing. We could leave this and just go, okay, I have to be more humble and I have to try to serve people. Okay, I'm going to go try to do those things. But the problem with that is this. If you ever try to do that, if you come out of here and go, okay, the pastor told me I just have to serve more people, so I'm going to go try to serve more people. If you go out and try to do that, what ends up happening is that all of us become disgruntled, angry, bitter, upset, frustrated, because you're just like, oh, I'm serving these people. And your heart doesn't really want to serve. You're just like, I'm supposed to do this, right? And so you're just like, okay, that's also not greatness in the kingdom, okay? If you're only serving out of like a disgruntled obligation and duty, that's not great. Because if you're doing that, then you're doing that because you think you're supposed to do that, which means that you're only doing it so that you can attain something else. And that's still not what Jesus is talking about. In a way, that's kind of like my kids who were like, I'll go last so I can be first. That's what we're doing if we're just serving out of duty or obligation. If you're only doing it because somebody told you you had to, then you're only doing it to attain something. That's not the same as this. It's not the same as actually putting somebody's needs above your own. But the reality is, none of us is really able to maintain humility and put others first on our own. You can't really do it. You can do it a little bit here or there. It can happen, but it's not something that we're really capable of mustering up our own strength. But the reality here is that if we're following Jesus and if we're submitting to Him and calling on the Holy Spirit to fill us and anoint us and change us and make us more like Him, then in that journey, He changes us. See, the greatness of this is, remember, and Jesus says it multiple times here, even says it at the end, when He calls His disciples to this process, saying, you will not lord it over people. You will maintain humility. You will be servants of all. You will put other people first and become a slave of all. You will do this. Why? Because I have come and it's what I do. That's when He says, the Son of Man. He says, this is what I've done. I was God Almighty up here, creator of everything, and I decided to come and humble myself, become a man, become a servant, die. I'm going to do all of these things for you. And if you are following me, that's what this looks like. If you're becoming like me, this is part of that journey and that process. But here's the beautiful news for us is that becoming like Jesus happens as His Spirit transforms us from the inside out. Becoming like Jesus doesn't really happen because you do things out of duty and obligation. That's religion. Religion is just following rules and things out of duty and obligation so that you can check it off a box and say, I did that. And a lot of us who follow religion, we're checking off boxes so that we can tell other people, look at all the boxes I checked off. Which is really us glorifying ourselves, raising ourselves up, and wanting to be greater than other people. Which is just what James and John are doing. Which is what Jesus is calling us not to do. But actually following Jesus and becoming His disciples means that we become transformed by the power of His Spirit at work in our lives so that instead of duty, obligation, bitterness, or all these things that you desire to put other people first, not because somebody told you, but because there is a heart within you that comes from Christ that says, I want to do this. That I want to serve. That I want to put you first. That I am somebody who wants to love on people and use what God has given me for others' benefit. That it comes out of me, that it bubbles up from within me because I am a follower of Christ and this is what he has done for me. And so I'm following in his footsteps and this is who I am. That's the journey. And that's greatness in the kingdom. And here's the thing, though. I just want you to know that we are all destined for this greatness through the power of Christ. No one is more special or more different than another person that enables them to be great like this. It's all the work of Christ. So wherever you're at, wherever you've been through, whatever your mind is at right now, you are all capable through the power of the Spirit. We are all capable through the power of the Spirit at work in us as we seek to follow Jesus and become like him to be counted as great within the kingdom. To maintain humility. To put others first. We all have what we need because we all have the Holy Spirit. And if we keep our eyes on him, this will happen if we allow it. But I think part of our problem is that for many of us, we are caught up in the rat race, I guess, of the kind of culture that we're in, which is all about raising ourselves up. It's all about becoming greater for ourselves, acquiring better things, better positions, better authority, putting ourselves up, and that's what everyone does. But that's not the call of Christ. The call of Christ is to become like him, humble, suffering servant for the sake of the world. And that's true greatness. In the kingdom. That's what that looks like. Just want to ask, kind of get us to think for a moment on where are we at today? Where is your heart at with this idea of greatness? Where is your heart at with humility? Where is your heart at with putting other people first and serving them? Is that a natural part of your life? Or is it something that just doesn't really take place? Because part of being like Jesus is these things. And if these things really don't have a place in our life, then there's a massive hole in our walk with Christ of what it means to follow him. I just even want to throw out there, as I'm saying again, put others first, serving people. As you're thinking about that, are you really putting other people's needs above your own? Or maybe some of the people you're serving for other means, other motives, other benefits. Because there's a difference. One of the ways I see this play out, even in my own life, that can be nuanced, right? So obviously, I'm a dad, I have 5 kids, and there are times, and I like saying it, I'm a believer in it to some extent, where I will tell my kids something and they will say, why do I have to do that? And I will say, because I'm your dad and I'm in charge and that's the way it is. And there are times that that's good. But then there are other times where I have to think, what? Why do they have to do that? Like, am I just saying that because it's my preference and that's just the way I want it to be? And do they really need to do that? And they'll push back often. I mean, they're kids. They push back all the time, sometimes healthfully and sometimes not so healthfully. But even in this position of authority that I've been granted as a dad, I have to wonder, like, okay, how am I using this? Am I actually serving my kids? Obviously, I can't just give my kids anything they want, because if they wanted, you know, they all want candy every moment of every day. So if I did that, it wouldn't work. Actually, I think one time they kind of realized that wasn't when we had too much Halloween candy, and I said, okay, you can eat as much of this as you want. Don't get sick. And then I'm throwing it all out. And almost all of them at one point in the night had to stop and went to the bathroom like, I might be sick. And I was like, that's why we say no candy. Or we cut you off, right? So there are times where exercising your authority is very good, right? But then I wonder in our culture with where we're at, okay? And I know I'm talking to parents right now, but a lot of us are parents in this room. But I wonder in the culture where we're at, what it means to raise a kid in this area with the, hey, you know, the ideal kid, right, is the kid who speaks like five languages, is in 17 sports, plays 17 instruments, you know, is in every extracurricular activity you can think of, and is destined for every Ivy League school at a full scholarship, right? That's what our kid is supposed to be in our culture. And so we push our kids into so many things. And I just want to ask the question. I'm not saying all of that is bad. I want to ask the question, is that actually us serving our kids? Is that us actually putting their needs in front of our own? Or is maybe some of that coming from another place? Because let's be honest, parents, for a lot of us being great as we become parents changes from anything about us to the greater my kid is in this society, the greater I am. And there's a realm where that's very true. And again, I'm not telling you what you are doing is wrong. I am asking us as parents in this society to ask the question, am I truly being a humble servant to my kids with the authority I've been granted as parents, or am I doing something else? Because I think for many of the people I meet in the community, they're not serving their kids. Now, for those of us who are not parents, what is it for you? What are the realms that you've been given authority, that you've been given power, that you've been given influence? Are you using those things out of an act of love and service and humility? Or is it for some other reason? Remember again, this is all about following Jesus and becoming like him. What it means to be a true disciple of Christ. And as we submit ourselves to him and receive his Holy Spirit, he will give you all that you need to be great in the kingdom of God. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give us just a minute to just ask and listen and evaluate your heart. Where am I? Where am I on this idea of greatness? Where am I with humility? Where am I with service and putting others first? I'm just going to give us just a moment, like a minute of silence, just to allow the God Spirit to reveal to you. And then in a minute, we will kind of move to communion, have a time of response with communion and a response to the message as well. But giving you a moment in silence right now to ask and evaluate. Where am I at right now? I'm just going to read this for us. You can just continue to hear this. This is the summary, kind of the story of what we believe of who Christ is. We read this often together, but I just want to read this over us this morning. This is the Apostles' Creed. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. This is who our God is. As we take communion, remembering who he is, what he has done for us, he is our example. He is who we are trying to become. And he is also the power at work in our lives that makes it possible. So as we come in a moment to take communion, I just want to invite you to come and receive all that you need from Jesus this morning. Do you need his power for humility? Have you noticed that you have begun to view others as less than yourself simply because of what you've been granted in life? Come receive humility. It's the power of his work in your life. Do you find putting others first impossible? Struggling? Do you only serve out of obligation and duty? Come and ask him to change your heart. Come and ask his power to be at work in your life so that you serve because you love others of a love that comes from Christ. I think some of us this morning, even as we take communion or before we take communion, we might just need to confess of our own arrogance and pride, our own bitterness and anger of the way we've lived our lives. And if that's you, I just want to invite you to do that this morning. Sometimes it's helpful to actually just confess to another person out loud to cement that. And if somebody confesses to you, you can just say, you pray a prayer of blessing over them, that God forgives them, pray the opposite things over their lives that they confess. You can do that. If you want to do that, we'll have leaders up here to pray for you in a moment. Or you can find a family member or a friend and just say, could you just listen to me for a moment? I want to pray. It's a healthy practice. But I want us this morning, as we take communion, to enter into the presence of God, enter into being like Christ, enter into the destiny of greatness that has been offered to us through the power of the Holy Spirit because of the example and the work and the power of the cross in your life. And so when we open this in a moment, the rest of the service till the end with the communion, with the singing, all of this is a time for you to encounter God. It's a time for you to respond as the Holy Spirit calls you. It's not about anybody else in the room right now. It's what is the Lord leading you to do? If you need to come and linger in the front, if you need to kneel, if you need to stand, if you need to find somebody else, if you need to receive prayer, just do it. Respond to our Lord. As you actually take communion, there's a little wafer thing on top, and then in the second part, there's a cup. You can take it as you feel led. You don't need to wait for anyone else. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. That was whipped, scourged, beaten, pierced, hung on a cross, broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. that makes you clean, that makes you righteous, that makes you whole. It is all that you need for life and godliness through the power of Christ. And he says, every time you take of these, you remember me. You remember my death. You remember my resurrection. You remember who I am. So Jesus, this morning as we come, we look to you. This morning as we come, we lower any facades, any pretensions that we have. We be honest with you, Jesus. We're honest with you with our lack of humility. We're honest with you with our arrogance. We're honest with you of how much we desire to be greater than other people. We lay that at your feet and we receive your humility. God, we're honest with you as we come this morning with our lack of compassion, our lack of mercy, our lack of desiring to place others first. We come to you with that. We come to you with anything else in our hearts that is in need of your touch this morning. And we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your body that is broken. And we thank you for your blood that is shed for the forgiveness of our sins and the sanctification of who we are. Holy Spirit, come. And so we have our leaders will be up here praying for you, and we just invite you, as you're ready, as we sing or as we're here, to come and take communion, come and count on the Lord, respond to Jesus as you see fit. This time is open for you to meet with your God.